The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Busted Open is back here on a Saturday. It is the weekend edition, podcast version of Busted Open Radio. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, on his return. Mark, it's been a couple weeks since we last heard from you. It's good to have you back, and it's good to have you back here in the holiday season. We got a stacked show for the listeners today.
Unbelievable show, man. I'm just so excited right now to be back, for one, and two, to be talking about my favorite thing in the world, pro wrestling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say food or Christmas. But yeah, pro wrestling is pretty great as well. And Mark, last night on SmackDown, a great show, a title change. Big E, formerly Big E Langston, taking out Sami Zayn and snatching the IC title in the main event.
A really, really good show from bell to bell. Big E Langston winning. And then we started this show with a cage match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, and everything in the middle fit in perfectly.
We also got the return of Charlotte Flair to talk about part of SmackDown in the week that was of professional wrestling. And Mark, it wouldn't be the week that was in professional wrestling without weekly winner. We are sure to give the listeners out there in the nation our weekly winner. And we're gonna, you know what we're also gonna hit since we've been off all week? We gotta talk about the Slammy Awards. Sit back, relax, click play, let's get it going. Bust it open on a Saturday. Because why, Mark Henry?
Because that's what we do.
There you go. You heard it, fans. Big E getting the win last night, becoming IC champ after taking down Sami Zayn in what was, on some level, I feel like, right? I mean, it was a lumberjack match. It was cool to see. Big E Langston, a guy that we have been obviously a fan of here on Busted Open Nation out there. I know you guys are big supporters of Big E as well. And we've been waiting, Mark, to, you know, waiting to see when this solo sort of push was going to happen for Big E. And it looks like, at least on some level, last night was the beginning of that, as Big E went out and took care of business, taking out Sami Zayn on Friday night. But you know what? That wasn't it on Friday Night SmackDown. It was a really, really good show all the way around. It definitely, like, when you're talking about SmackDown shows, Mark, and I think we might have lost the world's strongest man there. Hey, it's all good. It's 2020. We're dealing with our remote issues and everything that we got going on during COVID-19. But Nation out there, you guys watching, if you didn't, you missed a hell of a show. Obviously, as we watch the shows throughout the week, whether it be Monday Night Raw or NXT or AEW or Impact, all solid shows. And we're going to be doing Weekly Winner coming up in Hour 3, where we'll give our official best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. But all those shows, at least to me on some level, felt like prototypical holiday shows. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a knock on the shows. Don't get that wrong. I'm just saying, we're all, I think, on some level conditioned as pro wrestling fans that when the holiday season comes around, or, you know, specifically Christmas, you know, there's a tapering off, right? There's a leveling off. It's just not the same type of show that you would expect. That didn't happen with SmackDown last night. I mean, yeah, there were the trees, you know, there was the pomp and circumstance. I mean, it was clearly a holiday slash Christmas episode of SmackDown, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't your typical holiday show. It wasn't a lot of filler. All the talent was there. And what was great about SmackDown, I mean, you had that triple threat elimination tag match with the ladies. You had the show start with a title match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns in a cage. And then obviously at the end of the show, you have the Intercontinental title on the line with Big E and Sami Zayn. And then you get the title change, right? That is an awesome holiday show, completely outside of the, I don't know what you were expecting, Nation, right? When you stepped in to watch SmackDown last night, but I avoided spoilers. I know it was pre-taped and I know the results were released. I didn't read any of that. So I went into it completely blind. I had no idea about Big E's title win, right? So it was all fresh to me. And to watch those, I think it was four matches total in a two-hour show, it was awesome. I thought it played extremely well. It played like an actual pro wrestling show. It didn't get lost in the holiday shuffle, you know what I mean, if you will. It felt like a pro wrestling show. And I got to be honest, I think a big reason it felt like a pro wrestling show is because it was a lot of pro wrestling. It wasn't, right? It wasn't like, I don't want to say your typical WWE show, but just it wasn't a lot of sports entertainment. There was certainly the entertainment there. Mark brought up the back and forth there between Big E and Big E and it wasn't Big E and Sami Zayn and the Street Profits, right? With the t-shirt and the jokes that were being thrown around. Like, there were backstage segments, but by and large, throughout the course of that show, it was just a really solid pro wrestling show from front to back. I thought it played really, really well. Mark, we got you back. What's the deal here, big man?
Well, my comm is down, so I'm on Zoom, and we're just gonna work it out the way we work it out, baby. Okay. No,
it's all good. That's what we do, right? I don't want to infringe here, but that's what you do. That's what you do, not what we do. I don't want to get a plane ticket out here. So I know it's COVID, but I still feel like the world's strongest man might catch a Southwest flight and give me that world's strongest slam. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, Mark, I was talking about, before we lost you there to the connection issues, I was kind of setting up what we saw last night in terms of the show itself, right? SmackDown. I talked a little bit about Raw, NXT, and AEW, all fine shows, but very much holiday shows, not necessarily like a throwaway show, but like when you talk about holiday shows, Mark, that Friday night SmackDown last night felt like anything but a holiday show. I know you had the trees and the Christmas sort of, you know, spirit, but that was a pro wrestling show from front to back with three really good matches, title matches.
I mean, not just three. I think if you throw in, and I can't even say throw in, I say four matches, because Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso, that match was fire. I mean, if you had some people go through tables and a big false finish, you know, based off something that happened on the floor, you know, you got a pay-per-view match right there. And to open the show and to have Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns in a cage.
Yeah.
And the match be as good as the way that match was. I mean, we haven't got a chance to talk about it yet, but we're going to talk about it. I think Charlotte Flair coming back has been like the biggest thing for me right now in pro wrestling. Yeah. I love Charlotte. I love her work. I love the fact that everybody she works with, it means something. And that was proven in the women's match last night just by a small confrontation between her and Bianca Belair. It's like she made Bianca, and Bianca stepped up. And I mean, there's a bunch that happened in that show. But the fact that there was only four matches, the matches were long. They were full of energy and everything made sense. When was the last time you had a show where you couldn't poke a hole through anything? And that's the thing that we want. It was your wrestler's wrestling show last night.
Yeah.
And then you get to the end and it is a championship match, and you have a guy that we've all looked at as being like, you know, this guy could be good by himself. Like, you know, it's great to be in the New Day, but I think he could be a great individual performer, and he proved that last night, Big E.
Yeah, there's no question, Mark. I think there's two guys in the company. I mean, there's a lot. It's not just two guys, but I'm going to give you two guys that I have been just pulling my non-existent hair out, trying to make sense of why they aren't bigger stars in the company and why they haven't been used in a singles capacity. One of them is the aforementioned Big E, and the other is Cesaro. For 5 years, 6 years, whatever it's been, you look at both of those men, and I don't see how they aren't at the top of the food chain almost on every in every instance, right? Cesaro, you know, that's something we can keep an eye on. It is what it is at this point. I guess I just, you know, you take it where you can get it, Mark. And as we talk about taking it where we can get it, I'm really glad to see Big E. I hope this is the start of something beautiful, because you said it. You believe in this man. I believe in this man. I mean, he's a, for me, just a, there's just no one else like him. There's just not.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
The reason that Big E has not been where he got to last night sooner is because he was not willing to sacrifice the New Day.
Okay.
The New Day was such a valuable piece to WWE programming that they needed him and Xavier Woods and Kofi as a unit to entertain the masses. If you listen to even their music when they start off and they're in the back with a live mic, Connecticut, don't you dare be sour. Clap your hand. And like, he was a big and integral piece of that unit. And now when they separated them, they made the commitment to say, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And we were all pissed. We were all mad. Come on, man, don't break up the New Day. But the only way that Big E was ever going to get that singles run and that singles, I guess the singles push, if you will, was for him to go out on his own. And he was able to do that. And we see now that that time is here. And who is he going to face next?
Yeah.
Who's going to be? I think that Sammy is not completely gone. But I will use Sammy as an antagonist, you know, a guy that's trying to get him to lose, trying to help whoever Big E wrestles, you know, that kind of thing. And then maybe have, you know, him and Big E cross paths again.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned about Cesaro, I think that there's a lot on that bone with Cesaro. And I hope that he's not one of those guys that go down and say, oh, they just missed the boat with him.
Yeah.
But I think, same as you, I think Cesaro is one of those guys that could really be a main event player. They just have to make the commitment to allowing him to get over the way that he gets over.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that any boss wants to let the talent dictate how things are going to go. So
sure.
There's going to have to be some conversations about how we can bring this in together.
Well, I wouldn't mind being in the future a Cesaro and Big E feud, just from the standpoint that I could watch those guys. I think I've talked about it before. I could watch those guys wrestle every week for 20 minutes at a time. You know what I mean? It's just, they are that type of talent. Mark, as we talk about that type of talent real quick, throw this question to you and then we can throw it out to the nation. What do you want to see next from Big E? What do you want to see from this run, this feud? What do you want to see from him as a character with this Intercontinental title strapped around his waist?
Well, what I'd like to see the most is not just what's going on with Big E. I would like to see some of these main event guys go, hey, I like a shot at that title. And have Big E have to weather the storm of a series of really talented wrestlers step to him. Like, hey man, I'm the number one guy. I'm the number one contender. I want a shot. You know, like I'm number two. You know, I'm number three. Like, I haven't got my opportunity. And maybe one of those guys is Cesaro.
Yes. Why
like,
not?
Look, Big E, nobody's gave you more competition than me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to say that I beat the best? I beat the guys that gave me the biggest run for my money. That's what makes a real champion, is when you not only hold the title, but you defend that title.
Here's another thing you could do. What's happening with Cesaro and Shinsuke? There's nothing happening there. That's not a valuable asset, at least to me. Like when I think about Shinsuke and Nock, Shinsuke and Cesaro, that's not like I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling. I do separately when you talk about both of them. They're two of the most talented individuals in professional wrestling. Well, what about the Intercontinental title potentially causing a divide between them, Mark, in the sense that they both become obsessed with it, want to chase Big E's title, and then all three of them kind of get wrapped up into sort of a chase for that belt? Because when you talk about the IC title, Mark,
that's a hell of an idea.
Well, it's Mark, when you talk about that belt, that's a hugely important belt to the history of the business. I know you respect it. I respect it. The fans respect it. And what better three wrestlers when you talk about respect than Big E, Cesaro, and Nakamura? Like, wow. Let's go. And hey, shit, throw Sami Zayn in there. I mean, that's that worker's belt.
Man, I tell you, you just said so much in such a short amount of time. Throw Sami Zayn in there. Man, listen, you don't have to throw Sami Zayn anywhere.
Right.
Like he will find his way into making the most out of the least. Yeah. And I can see a four-way between those guys. And, you know, maybe going leading up into it, I think that you add Shinsuke and Cesaro and say, you know what, if I'm Big E, I cannot allow you, Cesaro, just to come up here and get a shot.
Right.
When your partner is just as deserving as you are. And I hate to do this, but I'll take on the winner of the two of you guys. So good luck.
Yep.
And now you pit two really good wrestlers against each other. And Sami Zayn is just there in the corner, just antagonizing everybody.
Looking for his opportunity to strike.
Yes, he's trying to work his way in.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, man. Listen, WWE, if you're listening, that's some good shit.
Yeah, let's do it. I am all for more of what we saw last night on SmackDown. And what did we see last night on SmackDown? That was a whole bunch of good professional wrestling.
Hey, everyone. This is Kirk Morrissey.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce three new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all three podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on a Saturday edition of Busted Open. Charlotte Flair right there. Well, Mark, we're talking about it. Hour two getting underway here on this holiday edition of Busted Open. And this is the holidays where gifts are abounding. One of the gifts that we got in the professional wrestling world is the return of Charlotte Flair. Haven't gotten to really talk to you, Mark, since that return. A lot of thoughts, right? A lot of thoughts out there in the pro wrestling world in regards to, you know, Charlotte returning and getting more gold. A lot of saltiness out there, Mark. I, for one, didn't give a shit. Charlotte Flair is one of the best in the world. I don't know where the complaints were coming from, Mark. What did you think about the return of Charlotte Flair? And are you okay with her getting a title immediately upon that return?
You know what, man? I think that it all worked out.
Yeah.
That it was really, really well done. For Asuka to say, you know what, I have a partner. And for her to, even the interaction that she had with Billie Kay.
Yeah.
Like all of that stuff was good. It was really good television and it was entertaining. And like, why would you not look at Charlotte Flair coming back and them doing the work that they did? Because it wasn't like they just, Nia just folded up and said, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home. That was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, Asuka, we listed our top five before. Mm-hmm. And I always said Charlotte, Sasha, Asuka, Bayley, two of the top five. You mean to tell me that two of the top five can't beat an existing placeholder tag team? I can't see that there could be any complaints. Why would there be complaints?
Well, because you can't. In the pro wrestling world, Mark Henry can't figure out why people would be complaining. It's because that's what pro wrestling fans do, Mark Henry.
You're exactly right.
Now, this creates a great segue because our old pal, Bama Dave, you know Bama Dave, regular Nation member and caller here on the show. He hit me up last night, hit all of us up on Twitter, and he asked a question that I said I was going to bring to the air, and this ties really well into the conversation we're having. Hey, Busted Open, Ryan, Mark, Bully, Tommy, Gabby, Ed, Guns, I know there are thousands more votes that can be cast. He's showing me a screen cap, I should say, also of a poll that was given, but this still intrigued me. Maybe fans don't want to see talent on social media. The poll was, Mark, by Fight TV, our pals over at Fight, it was a two question, A or B. When did you enjoy wrestling more, before social media or after social media? There are about 1,000 votes, and 82% said before social media. Now, as we're talking about Charlotte and everyone having an opinion and people, I don't know how anyone could complain about that. Well, Mark, it's because it is pro wrestling. And one thing, as we talk about this poll that Bama Dave asked us about and our thoughts, I liked wrestling pre the internet, but it wasn't because the wrestlers with their own Twitter accounts. I think that's great. Getting a window into the talent and their, you know, their feelings and their thoughts and their opinions. I think that is awesome, right? It's the fact that everyone has now been given a voice and everyone has been told that their opinion is valid. And this is coming from a guy who suffers from imposter syndrome, right? Like, I'm not so sure that my opinion is valid, and I'm on Busted Open every Saturday. I feel uncomfortable giving my opinion sometimes. So when you talk about the public at large, Mark, constantly ringing in and giving their thoughts on a product and speaking as if they're experts, yeah, it can get pretty annoying because, Mark, in the case of a returning Charlotte Flair getting gold after her first night back, there's nothing you could say and make that a bad thing. Stop.
You know, and Ryan, you said it best. There's nothing that you could say that can make that a bad thing.
Right.
Like, she is the best. She's the best, guys.
And she's been gone for months. What are you
and
assholes?
You know it. And you know it. And on top of that, you have Charlotte Flair. She comes back. She's in unbelievable shape. And she, right off the bat, shows you why she's Charlotte Flair. She does the moonsault. She does her finish. She does so many things that's synonymous with her being great.
Yeah.
And showing you, look, I'm better than I was before I left. I'm just as good as I was before I left. There's no changes. I'm just coming back passionate, hungry, and wanting to get it in. And for the fans that say that, I'm the same as you, Ryan. I thought wrestling was better before social media because, one, people do all the spoilers.
Yeah.
And then there's also an uneducated group of people that have opinions. There's really no concrete, it's not based off fact, it's not based off experience,
right.
And it's not based off anything but your opinion of who that person is and what that person is capable of. And I don't want to hear from you. That's why I wait for Busted Open.
Yeah.
I wait for Mondays because it's not just based off opinion. We can't base everything off opinions. Now, every now and then you'll hear us say, well, you know what? That's just my opinion.
We can have them.
For the most part,
yeah.
The show is based off, we've talked to people in the company. We've talked to people that have reliable sources. We've talked to the talent. We have the talent on the show to tell it from their own mouth. So don't give us that. Like, I don't want to have to hear the opinion of Dick Tracy telling me what I know not to be true.
Let me tell you why Charlotte Flair shouldn't have another title, Mark. I'm not actually going to do that. I'm playing the role of
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Please reason me with that. All right. So as we talk about Charlotte Flair, Mark, you know, you brought it up. I don't think there's any question. When you talk about the five best wrestlers, and not just of this generation, the five best wrestlers ever, I think Charlotte Flair and Asuka are in a lot of people's top five. So with that said, how long can this last? Because as much as I'm going to enjoy Charlotte and Asuka together and doing whatever they're going to do and whatever, you know, chemistry they're going to have. And I think there's a lot of comedic stuff that they could play on and form some chemistry. There is an inevitability happening, and that will be that we are going to need to see Charlotte and Asuka show down, and that their friendship will deteriorate at some point. I guess the question to you is, Mark, from a booking standpoint, how long do you run with this? Do we take this through WrestleMania? Do we break it off before WrestleMania and have them go at it? Because there's a part of me that if you do it at this WrestleMania, it's a little too predictable, right? But if you play it off till next WrestleMania, well, then maybe that's a little bit too long for women who, you know, have given us so much throughout their career. I'm just curious. You're the expert. You're the Hall of Famer. What do you think happens?
And this is just my opinion. It's not based off fact or experience. I would like to see Charlotte say, you know, Asuka, I've had a good time being tag champions with you, but you know that I want that title. Mm. That title is tailor-made to fit around my waist. And you know what? I can take that title from you and we can still be tag partners. And Asuka could say in Japanese, you know, no, and then just go into Japanese. That's all I want to hear. And it would be great, man, like to have them at WrestleMania or, you know, maybe not at Royal Rumble. It might be a little too soon, but like, I definitely like to see that.
You could also do it where it starts off as a competitive feud, right? Like you said, where it's respectful and you acknowledge each other as the two, you know, greatest of a generation, but then things start getting more competitive. Maybe the belt changes hands once or twice and then emotion takes over, right? And then one of them goes to a dark place, which I wouldn't be against either way. I think the one I would say, if you were going to have someone turn or go to that dark place, I would say I would like to see it from Asuka, Mark, because as much as I like the work that Asuka does in any capacity, I think when she's a little more violent, when she's a little bit more unpredictable, I guess what I'm getting at, I just feel like the heel persona fits her a little bit more well in the WWE landscape, at least.
Well, that's where we differ because, you know, seeing her dance around last year at TLC and her dancing in the elevator and like just being a clown and trying to get people to laugh. And man, she just so full of energy that I just love seeing her in this babyface place.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just an opinion. It's not.
Well, but it's been enjoyable. It's been enjoyable. I'm just saying, feels like to me, potentially time is up with that. Like it's at some level, it's going to run its course. And if you're going to do, I'm just saying, if you're going to do it, Mark, what better dance partner than the Queen Charlotte Flair, right? If you're going to take. Yeah.
Nobody paints the line of heel babyface better than Charlotte.
Yeah,
she can play the middle and get the job done. I don't necessarily have to see Charlotte be the heel, because once Charlotte is the heel, she should be champion. There's nobody that's more violent. There's nobody with a greater skill set than her. So what's stopping her from just taking it? She's good enough.
Yeah.
She validates herself by showing up. Walk to the ring, play the theme, and let her go in the ring, and she could have a five-star match with any of those ladies.
The story for the last year or maybe 18 months for me, Mark, really with Charlotte has been about elevation, right? I really feel like she has, when she has interjected herself or found herself, specifically Bayley and Sasha. Like when she got into that Bayley and Sasha feud and started throwing her venom and doing her little mental manipulations. I thought it took Bayley's
storyline better.
She did. And I thought she really kicked Bayley into another higher gear. So when we talk about Charlotte coming back and getting that immediate title wrapped around her waist with Asuka, I thought at least in my opinion, I thought a big reason why they did that was, well, if you put the strap on her with Asuka, then you can use her on multiple shows. And I think that's something they wanted to do when we talk about the WWE. Charlotte Flair is a commodity. She is a valuable chess piece. When ratings are down on Raw and ratings are really kind of down across the board as we're, 9 months into, 2020 and COVID-19, bringing Charlotte back and spreading that love, so to speak. I mean, that's a good move, at least as far as I'm concerned, Mark.
You know what? If I hear Michael Cole or I hear Corey Graves say one more time, and it's not just because her name is Flair, I'm going to jump through the screen and bitch slap both of them. Why do they say that?
I don't know.
Why? For what purpose is that making the program better? It's not.
Yeah.
Charlotte is beyond Charlotte Flair. She's Charlotte.
Yeah.
And they're doing her a disservice by saying that.
I just got visuals of you grabbing up Michael Cole and Corey Graves and giving them
and
the old
paintbrush. Yeah.
You seem very serious when you said that. Like, just I was scared for them.
Yeah, I was. I don't just throw idle chitter chatter. I just, man, when the anger hits me,
okay,
it just comes through like that. I can't help it.
Well, bro, that's why we love you. You know, you're clearly passionate about pro wrestling so much so that you're willing to go up and choke some fools and give them the old paintbrush.
Hey, everyone. This is Nicole Auerbach, and I want to invite you inside the Coach's Clubhouse, a brand new podcast from SiriusXM that examines what drives coaches on and off the sidelines. We talk to coaches from all different sports and all walks of life about their passion for the profession, their mentors, philosophies, and stories, and also what they care about when they're outside the spotlight. We'll give you a unique perspective on some of the greats in their profession, from Olympic coaches to Super Bowl champions and everyone in between. New episodes out every Wednesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
You ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah! That's right. Hour 3 of Busted Open on a Saturday getting underway. And you know what time it is. It is weekly winner time. Mark, it has been, well, I want to say a year of dominance by the Blue brand, but they are kicking ass and taking names. And as I look at the week that was in professional wrestling, woo, Impact, Raw, AEW, and NXT are going to have some serious work to do. So let's get into it, Mark. Weekly winner for this Christmas edition of a Busted Open Saturday. Who are you going with?
You know, I don't believe in throwaway shows. I think that that's just, a myth. You know, there were good things and bad things. I think that, spread out on Raw 3 hours, like it was difficult to put everything into proper context. It didn't flow as smoothly as I would have liked. The matches were fine when they had matches, but all of the stuff in between was kind of like felt like it was kind of thrown together. AEW was not a bad show by any means.
Right.
I really enjoyed, watching Sting come out and seeing Darby Allin in the rafters and, when the attack happened and then Darby was right there next to Sting and, stuff like that always gets me. And you go over to AEW, I miss Bronson Reed, man. I'm telling you,
you mean NXT? I got you though.
NXT, going on NXT. I love Bronson Reed, man. Like
thick boy.
I'm a thick boy at heart, man. And I enjoyed seeing him.
Aren't we?
I thought there was a little bit too much storyline stuff with them in the back and at the house, you know, Johnny Gargano. Like, I love it, but it was just overdone. But you move on to yesterday, to Friday, and you have four matches, three championship matches, and it was match after match after match after match. You start the show with a cage match that could have been on any pay-per-view that the WWE puts together.
Yep.
Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, they killed it. They set the tempo. And then the second match came up, and I'm watching these women, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I said to my son, I said, Jacob, this is one of those shows where you start saying, damn, I hate to have to follow that.
Yeah.
And then you get Daniel Bryan and Jey Uso, who kick it into another level. And I'm like, holy cow, what are they going to do in the main event? Oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then you get the championship match. We underestimate what Sami Zayn is.
Yeah.
And I said this early in the show. Sami Zayn is one of the most fluid, one of the most exciting, one of the most unpredictable wrestlers that we have in pro wrestling on any brand. He is equally as powerful on the microphone as he is in the ring. His thought processes, why you do things, when you do things, are without equal. He just doesn't have a peer group when it comes to putting things together. Hmm. Like the stuff, everything he does is just sound. You just hate him. You want to hate him. And when you have that, it only makes for the guy that's the competitor, the babyface, the good guy, to come across as, damn, I'm so happy for him beating that asshole Sami Zayn, because that's what he set you up to do. And Big E stepped up, put his body on the line. There was a couple of like the spear through the ropes to the floor is always something that scares the hell out of me.
Even all these years later, right? We've seen it how many times, and each time your heart jumps.
Each time your heart just stops. Yep. And the match was just really, really good, really, really put together well. The guys on the floor did their jobs. They stayed out of the way when they needed to stay out of the way, and they added to the match. Like, hey, there was no weakness in that show. And I mean, like we always say, if you're not first, you're last.
You're last. That's right.
SmackDown was definitely first in pro wrestling for the week.
You're talking about the Lumberjacks in that main event. How about Apollo Crews getting on his horse and getting after Sami Zayn with that tackle? I love that.
Hell of a tackle.
I love that. I know it was small and goofy, but it's little
like
things.
A Texas Longhorn out there.
Right. There you go.
Okay, maybe Alabama.
Oh, I just saw Marcus Gurley, our buddy from Bama, chime out when he found out I was from South Bend. Yes, Marcus, I am from South Bend originally. Yes, I am a Notre Dame fan because it is my hometown. And yes, Marcus, I know what's going to happen in the Alabama game. I've watched Notre Dame play Clemson and Alabama plenty. So congrats on your win. I know what this is. I'm reserved to just this endless cycle of disappointment being a college football fan. Yes, laugh it up, Mark.
Don't give in, man.
I'm just, you know, you have to temper your expectations.
Yes, you was about to give in. Don't give in.
I'm just tempering. It's like, it would be like Raw winning the weekly winner. It's just not realistic. Man. I mean, the shit might happen, but probably not. All right. So, Mark, I'm just going to tell you right now, my weekly winner is SmackDown. I think it was the best show, pretty by far in this week. It really resonated, played well, four solid matches. You talked about the Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan match. I don't know how it was filmed. I know it was pre-taped. I don't know if it was done out of sequence, but if it was done in sequence, then you've got to know that the start was good. You've got to know that potentially there's a title change coming up to the end of the show. So you want to hold your weight and you want to bring your fire to your match and make it stand out. I felt like everybody did that on SmackDown last night, Mark. And when you were talking about that Jey Uso and Daniel Bryan match, it kind of got me thinking. I'm curious, you know, you're the Hall of Famer. You've been in this business 25 years, you know, thousands of matches, biggest names in the business, right? When you know that, when you have a great show like we saw on SmackDown last night, or it can be like the pay-per-view on Sunday or whatever the case may be, when there is a great show that has happened, do you know it in the locker room, or do you kind of have to wait for the feedback to come in and the praise to be lauded?
No, you know.
Do you?
You know right away, because I've been involved in hundreds of shows where originally I had things in mind, and then I saw the match before me. No shit. No, we changing this.
What would cause you to change it? A specific spot that reminded you of a spot that you're going to be doing, or just the energy and the reception that that particular match got?
No, the reception that match got, and okay, where the crowd went to, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to be second tier. We got to elevate our game. Mm. And sometimes you do it with more violence. Sometimes you do it with a more sound storyline. And there's been nights where you go out there and you say, you know what, I'm not going to risk it. You know, we're just going to go out there and let it happen and see how to. No, not tonight. Yeah. Not tonight. Listen, man, I need you to jump from the top and to the floor. And we need to go through this announce table. We need to, you know, throw me into the barricade. I'm going to throw you across the barricade. You know, I'm going to try to hit you with the stairs, move out the way. You know, it's like you got to elevate it. You got to put more bells and whistles in it. And that's what that show was last night. Everybody tried to outdo everybody.
And that's the way it felt. That's why I brought that up. Because clearly, like, when Jey and Daniel Bryan hit that curtain, I mean, it's an important story being told, but they worked it in a way that it just felt competitive. And I love that, because and I don't think I'm the only one that watches wrestling that way. Like, I'm watching for those sorts of stories to play out, to see that passion and to see that energy, because it comes through on the TV, man. It absolutely does. You feel it as a fan. And that's, I think, when you have the best shows, you get that competitive spirit. You can almost taste it. But Mark, you know, Friday Night SmackDown was my weekly winner. It was a great show. Multiple, championships on the line and just really solid matches. But there is plenty more to the week to get to that I'm excited to talk about. You talked about Sting and AEW. One thing I really liked about Sting is that, that I'm enjoying about Sting is we're now week four into this Sting appearing on television. And each time it's feeling special. It's brief clips, brief moments, but clearly this isn't just your average return. And I mean, it makes sense. Sting is one of the greatest, talents in the history of the business, but it's just nice to see the freshness still being there. This isn't stale. It's exciting. He shows up on TV for 5 minutes and AEW is finding a way to keep me engaged. I think that they deserve a huge amount of credit for that, especially with the limited capacity at which, Sting's operating right now.
And they do. And Sting doesn't have to touch anyone to elevate.
Right.
So there are guys that, you look at Taz and his guys, people actually are excited to see what's going to happen when they touch. And now you know that Sting has at least one ally, mm-hmm. but it's not over. There's a couple of more allies to be attained in this battle that's going to ensue. And I just, without saying it and trying to push it ahead than it's supposed to.
It sounds like you got some ideas. It sounds like you might see what's coming. All right.
And I think it's going to be pretty damn good.
Well, you know what? I don't see the inner journalist in me. I go back to my Yahoo Sports days. There's a part of me that really wants to follow up on that and do all you a solid out there in Nationland. But then there's the inner Mark in me who doesn't read the dirt sheets and likes to be surprised to where I don't like, Mark's excited about it. You can't see him on the Zoom, but there's clearly something that's firing in his brain. And I don't know if I want him to share it with us because I kind of want to be surprised. But you do think a stable's coming down the line.
I think that by the end of it, there's going to be two more guys standing next to Sting and Darby Allin that everybody's going to love. Everybody's going to love it.
And you have these two. You have the two in mind already.
Yeah, I have the two in mind. Everybody know that one of them is going to be Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
And when you saw Sting get out there and say, you know, I had a real strong affection for Dusty Rhodes. Who he said, we're gonna put some color on your face, baby, and we're gonna have you. I'm gonna hug you up the Ric Flair, and he did the impersonation of Dusty, like you know that Cody's gonna be, but that last guy is gonna take that team to another level, and it's gonna be a hell of a four-way match between. That group of men and Taz's team. And I'm just, you know, I know for a fact that it's going to be put together so well that it's going to keep us entertained through and through. And we're going to really enjoy the combatants. That's I'm going to just leave it at that. I'm going to just leave it at that.
It's an enticing thought, right? Because when you start down and I'm like, all right, well, Cody and Sting become tight. They certainly have that relationship. There's a lot of respect there. But then I think about, you know, there's a faction that didn't like Sting too much. And there's a member on this roster that is a couple members that were very well-versed in that rivalry. And I'm thinking directly about the Horsemen. Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, obviously there's Sting there. I mean, if Cody was looking to... I don't know if Cody was looking to make some enemies or make a change or go down a different path, taking out Sting and maybe revisiting the Four Horsemen in some sort of way. I'm just saying there's a lot on the table, as we like to say on a Saturday. There's a lot of meat on the bone, but I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole because, damn it, it is so exciting, kind of like what I said to Mark. Everything's been so good up to this point. I have no doubt that what is to come will be good on some level. The only question is, how good will it be? And I can directly translate or transition, I should say, Mark, into how he's good right now, but how good is he going to get? And I'm glad you brought up Taz's boys and his crew, Ricky Starks. That man, you think about just NWA a year ago, he was on YouTube for free. He got plucked from there, put into this sort of maelstrom of chaos. He has found a home. He you know, in his increments, as I talked about the minimal spots that Sting is doing work in, and he's still exciting. Ricky Starks, albeit on a much different level, with his minimal television time, he is killing it, Mark.
Listen, during the pandemic, Ricky Starks came on to Bust It Open and Get Yourself Over Monday.
That's right.
And we pushed him, you know, like I was like, listen, you need to come on the show. He comes on the show and he gets over. He goes the next week or in 2 weeks. He goes to AEW to do just some extra work.
Right.
And he ends up in a match with Cody on Dynamite, main event for the TNA Championship, TV title.
I got you.
And the match steals it. He gets signed a couple of weeks later. He becomes a fixture on the show.
Yep.
Which elevated him to where he is now. He's an untouchable. He's a guy that you would be hard-pressed to have a show without Ricky Starks.
Yep.
He's one of your more dominant personalities. I'm a mentor of Ricky Starks. I talk to him every week at least once.
That's awesome.
And I listen to him, and then I'll, just like when I talk to you, I've completely listened, and I'm like, are you done?
So Ricky's got that same energy, huh?
and he listens. There's been a ton of wrestlers that I've talked to in my life, and they feel like they've got it down so pat that they don't really need advice. They just, you know, want a sounding board. Ricky wants to be corrected. Ricky wants to be great. Ricky wants, I want my taxes to be done by the best person. I want my life to be structured to where when I'm done wrestling, I could be self-sufficient and I don't need anything. The dude wants to be great. And it would be a sin before God for me not to give whatever knowledge that I have to help that man. And I mean, there's probably 30 other wrestlers that I have to devote that time and energy to when they call.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And Ricky is going to be great, man, because he wants to be. And when they turn the camera on, he is not going to let anybody he's around outshine him.
Well, that much is clear.
And that's why he's,
yeah,
you know, making those moves.
Yeah, I mean, that much is clear, Mark. I talk about it with anybody who's great on the microphone. Everyone messes up, right? Like, we do it on our job when we've got a live microphone, especially, 3 hours, you know what I mean? Unmitigated, like, something is going to happen. It's just an inevitability.
The word is not
going
to come out.
Right, exactly. You're going to say some dumb shit. You're going to stumble up, whatever the case may be, right? We talk into microphones, right? But it's what do you do when the mistakes happen? Right? Yeah. How do you react? Ricky Starks, from best I can tell, and it's been a limited sort of you know, exposure and track record, sample size, exactly. But what I do see is that, similar, I talked about it with Alexa Bliss, right? Just a steamroller of confidence. And when there is that hiccup or there is that, you know, stepping off, Randy Orton has it, whoever, like the really great mic people, you just continue. You kick the door in, you make reference to it, or you don't. You just keep plodding away and you don't let it affect you. It's that confidence. And Starks, despite not having a ton of experience on the, really, really any experience at the highest level, he is delivering at the highest level. So when you say he's going to succeed, I see why you would say it, and I completely agree. And full disclosure, you had no idea I was going to bring up Ricky Starks. So no. This literally just kind of happened. And I think it also, again, it speaks volumes to the work Ricky Starks is doing, because it's shining through in the TV and in limited, you know, sort of capacity. So I did want to bring that up, because it's pretty clear that this young man, you know, the world is his oyster. The professional wrestling world is his oyster, no question.
Yeah, and I can see Taz talking for
Brian
Cage. I can see him talking for Powerhouse. Even though those guys, they can talk. Mm-hmm. But Ricky Starks don't need Taz to talk for him. And he needs that at some point, grab the microphone, Taz. Thank you. But let me tell you about Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
Ricky Starks be Ricky Starks.
Think about what you just said. He doesn't need Taz's help. He can take the mic from Taz.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir, he can.
Yeah, that's a huge endorsement.
Huge compliment, yeah. Because when Taz is on the mic, he compels you to listen to him. His tone and deflection and some of the realness in which he delivers. It's just, you know, golly.
Yeah.
Ricky Starks to be there at such a young age, you know, him and a couple of those guys on that show are going to be doing that for a long time. Mr. Friedman.
Yeah, Mr. Friedman. I was actually, as we talk about MJF, I was having this conversation with my wife a couple weeks ago, Mark, and we were just talking about, you know, talent in AEW, and we were actually talking about Ricky Starks. But MJF did get brought up. I MJF could be the first homegrown quote unquote AEW talent, Mark, that I think WWE could have an eye on.
Try to poach him?
WWE doesn't do the greatest work with heels. Like, I don't think that it's the best place for a heel to work. But if anyone could take that mold and kick the door in and just demolish it and do great work wherever he was, it would be MJF. I want him to stay in AEW and be the face, but I could definitely see if Vince was going to pony up for anyone and make a real bidding war about any talent at talent at AEW, MJF would have to be at the top of the list. It is an exciting time for pro wrestling, man. We're talking about Ricky Starks. We're talking AEW, man. It's only been a year and we're sitting here doing weekly winner. We've got, oh shit, tip of the cap to Impact, who's having the best shows they've had in years.
Ever.
Yes, ever, arguably.
Since AJ Styles and Bobby Lashley left.
Yep. Incredible time to be a pro wrestling fan. Very lucky, Busted Open Nation, to have this show 6 days a week. But you know what? I don't need to tell you. You guys know, and we appreciate all you loyal listeners.
Hey, everybody, this is Fran Freshella, host of the podcast World of Basketball. The game of basketball has truly become a global game.
Markovic buys it into Mickey, and somehow it goes in.
Each week, I talk with the players, coaches, and executives who have led the way in growing the game of basketball around the world.
Real Madrid have stolen victory from the jaws of defeat.
Episodes are available every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
All right, Mark, as we talk about the year that was in professional wrestling, we took a little stroll down memory lane there to you back in the day as good old Santa Claus delivering the world's strongest slam. That is kind of the one thing, the crappy thing about having a beard. I mean, it's not crappy. I'm not bah humbugging or anything, but I do feel like when you have a beard and as we get older and it becomes a little bit more white in our beard, I feel like we're just like, that's our future is destined to play Santas wherever we go. Like, people expect it of us, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you, if you're the bearded guy, you look at me up.
Yeah.
It's been a little while since I put any dye in my beard, and it is really, really gray. Really gray.
No, it's not gray. It's white. It's white.
It's white.
Yeah,
and my daughter told me the other day, it's time to dye your beard, Dad. And I was like,
damn,
I don't want to dye it. I'm going to just let it go white.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, man, I've had a lot of flack about it. I got to go to the Raw reunion show next week, and
Vince's gonna have the comb out, Mark.
He's I know for a fact that I'm gonna have to get it done.
Well, the truth is, I mean, we both would look better if we dyed our beards. I just the reason I have a beard is for lack of upkeep. I don't want to shave every day and cut my face and just all that nonsense. So the idea of constantly having to dye it kind of goes against my better nature. But I will say this, Mark, you are insane for being 50 years old. Like, your face looks like you're 32. If I looked as young as you did, you arguably, like, if we took like a screen grab of our Zoom right now, like, I think you have less wrinkles than I do, and I'm 37 and you're almost 50. So if I looked as good as you did, I might ramp it up a little bit and actually be okay with the dye. I don't know, but you do look good for an old man.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. You know, the check's in the mail.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I'll have to pay it back in some way. I don't know. I'll spend it on barbecue or something. All right. So
hey,
listen.
Man, make sure I'm around.
I think we can do that. We'll just have to make sure that this COVID hell is all wrapped up. Wait, actually, yeah. I'll have to come to you. There's no reason for you to come here anymore. The buffets are closed down. You've been out here already anyway. I've already taken you to all my best restaurants. I got to get down to Austin and see what all that smoked meat is about. And
you can stay right here. You and your wife can stay right here in the studio.
I feel
like bedroom, bathroom, a little bit of kitchen.
I was gonna say, I feel like we could all stay on that couch behind you. I could feel like I could fit my entire goddamn family. It's
bro,
gigantic.
That couch right there, that's the one. You know how you have that one couch in the house?
Yeah.
I put it over here. I really want it at my house. But you know, my wife is like, look, that was your office couch. Like, I got the interior design on point. Right now. You let me handle this. I'm not arguing.
That one is what we call, that one is lived in, which I don't even need to break that one in. That one is ready to go. You guys can't see it on the Zoom session,
look
but
at,
it is
look
like,
at that leather, man.
It's,
look at
it's
that
a leather couch that's like the size of a boat, and each end of the couch just looks sad because it's had the world's strongest man melding his ass into it for the last decade. But it looks sad, but it also looks incredibly comfortable. I am one day going to sleep an entire weekend.
Brother, it is broke in.
On that couch. All right, man, listen, we got to get to a break here real quick, and we're going to come back with some calls. But before we do, I want to dive into match of the year. The Slammies were, you know, this week. You haven't been on the air for the last couple of weeks. And this year specifically in the WWE, you know, obviously, Mark, it was a banner year in terms of chaos and, you know, unfamiliarity and, you know, everyone trying to do their best with COVID, and the workers specifically, the talent did a great job. There were a lot of great matches, Mark, to get to. Here were the nominees for match of the year for the Slammies. New Day and the Hurt Business from Raw on November 16th. We got Edge versus Orton in the greatest wrestling match ever that, well, found itself to the top of the list for match of the year. We got the men's Royal Rumble match with the return of Edge. We got Styles versus Daniel Bryan in that Intercontinental Championship final from, I believe it was SmackDown from however many, I think it was from earlier in the summer. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso in the I Quit match. Sasha Banks and Bayley from Hell in a Cell. AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, and Jeff Hardy in that triple threat. Jesus, this is a big list. Drew McIntyre and Reigns at Survivor Series, and Becky Lynch versus Asuka at Royal Rumble. Mark, I know
we got an honorable mention.
What's the honorable mention?
Honorable mention that was not on that list. And I know everybody going to remember this when I say it.
Okay. And one more. And this was the winner, Undertaker versus AJ Styles, the Boneyard match at WrestleMania. But this, it's a huge list. And you said you had an honorable mention. So let's hear it.
Matt Riddle and Thatcher.
Tim Thatcher. Yep.
In that match, he kicked his teeth out. And they beat each other beyond recognition, man. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. That was an ass whooping that both of them guys, they're going to take to the grave with them. And that match was good. Everything made sense. And I remember coming off going, I had a couple of matches like that, and it was with the same guy. And that was Sheamus. They beat each other like they hated each other, and it came through. And it was, I mean, that match should have been on that list. Even
how about how about honorable mention just from 2 weeks ago, Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne going to absolute war on NXT.
Oh yeah, that was another good one.
That was a great match. But for match of the year, would you agree with the Boneyard match? Was that your match?
I agree. I mean, it's hard in a year's time. I still haven't seen anything that made me as excited as watching AJ Styles and Undertaker in the way that, even though it was a cinematic match and all of the stuff that happened with the Good Brothers. And I mean, just, it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
The finish and Taker riding out with the fist over his head. Like, I mean, it's, damn, it was so good, man, that for a long, maybe 3 weeks after, we had guys like Mick Foley, like myself, and that was like, man, I'll come out of retirement to have a match like that. Like, damn, that was good.
It was so good, it got everyone jealous.
Yeah, everybody was jealous. And when you have people admit
right
that was live, that, man, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
You did something. So they got it right.
Chances are you had a good match. I'm going to tell you my match of the year. It wasn't the Boneyard match for as much as I enjoyed it. Bro, I don't even know if it was my most enjoyable pre-tape match from that show. I love the Firefly Funhouse match with Cena and Wyatt. But two really good matches. But I don't know if it's recency bias. I really don't know. But Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, and that I Quit match and the emotion. And I think, to be fair, a lot of the buildup factors into why I enjoyed that match so much, the storytelling that led into the match. That was my match of the year. I can't believe that I saw Roman Reigns in this storyline doing the work he's doing and then elevating Jey Uso to that main event spot and making him a commodity. I loved that match. I loved that story. And yeah, it might be a little bit of recency bias, but one thing we do know when you look down that list of Bayley and Sasha and just everything that was in there, Mark, all things considered, for the shit year that 2020 was, man, what a great list of matches that we got and moments. A year full that you didn't know when this all started and how long it was going to last. And if you would have told me back in March that we would have been sitting here at Christmas with still no fans, I wouldn't have believed you that there would have been the possibility of all these great matches. But it happened.
It happened. And you know what, man, I think the biggest thing is the breakout star of the year.
Okay.
That was the Slammy that I was like the most conflicted about. I thought that there was so many options. I hated that Walter was not on that list.
Like, that's even a great call. That's a great
even
call.
Even though, you know, the pandemic had Walter stuck in Europe, he still had a few matches that I thought was as good as any of the matches we saw in mainstream wrestling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't ready to give him the nod, but I was just saying, like, at least put the guy on the list.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Walter, Mark, because the match with Ilya Dragunov was arguably match of the year. Because we were talking about matches of the year. We didn't even bring up Walter and Dragunov. That thing was that you talk about hard hitting. You were talking about Thatcher and Riddle. Dragunov, yeah. And Walter was just batshit. Like, that was one of those ones where you're just like, yeah, you do one of these.
Yeah, cover your face.
Yeah, do the little
peekaboo. Pay that dude his money.
Yes, pay him his money. That is absolutely correct.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.